The Holy Gospel, according to John, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Mary came where Jesus was and saw him. She knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have not kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. And I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to him, Unbind him and let him go. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you, Lord. Please be seated. I just got back last night from Washington, D.C., where my family and I buried my grandfather at Arlington National Cemetery with full military honors. It was an incredible experience. I had never been part of a funeral that had over 130 other people involved, from a military band to a 60-person honor guard to a horse-drawn chariot and a rideless horse. It was an incredible experience. But getting to Arlington was a logistical and organizational nightmare for my family. Because of this, even though my grandfather died in May, we just buried him this last Thursday. In a way, it was odd then to have gone through a big grieving process over 5 months ago and then revisit the whole thing just this weekend. For some of us, All Saints Sunday, I think, can be a little bit daunting, a little bit weird. What is the point of All Saints Sunday? What is the point of lighting a candle? Of saying goodbye again? Does this bring up pain of loss again? Does this feast Sunday just rub salt in an already open wound? The names we read and the candles we light represent, I think, a real void for those who have lost loved ones this past year. In our ritual of All Saints Sunday, that must be taken seriously. One thing my dad has said to me around my grandfather's death was, I am feeling emotions that I've never felt before. These emotions, better known as grief, are really uncomfortable. They rock and they shake us to our core. Grief is not an emotion that we wish for. We don't get up out of bed in the morning and say, you know what, I really want to be in grief today. And so most of us put it to the side, or we move on as best as we can until this pesky Sunday, when it all has to come up one more time again. None of these texts, theologian Matthew Skinner writes, speaks of grief as being foolish. I think he's right on. In verse 33 of the gospel text in John, there are two Greek verbs that are translated in the Bible as, "He was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved." But for the integrity of these Greek verbs and the reality of the wounds of grief, I don't think this translation is a good one. The first verb has a connection actually to anger. It's not simply a strong feeling, but it has more of a passion, more of a pain that comes from a situation. And the root of the second verb, the second Greek verb, is tied up to actually a stirring up of oneself. It's used many, many times when referring to the stirring up of water. And so it can be used in a physical and emotional way, because it signifies both an external as well as an internal disturbance that is akin to almost being physically sick. Therefore, Jesus was so in grief, was so angry by Lazarus's death, that he was stirred up. He was stirred up in his mind and his heart and his body. And he was groaning deeply in his spirit. He was crying. Even the incarnate God is broken in heart and soul by the death of Lazarus. Death grieves God. So also does death break our hearts and stir up our souls. And it's true that this is comforting, I think, that God is disturbed and is saddened. But there has to be something else. Something beyond the grief. Teacher Matt Skinner at Luther Theological Seminary writes, "If grieving is all it is, then close up the doors to the church, lock it up, sell the building, disband the congregation. For the church on All Saints Sunday, grieving our loved ones also has to be linked to an internal hope." The practice of ancient Judaism is an interesting one. We were discussing it in Bible study this morning. That is to let the body sit for 3 days. This actually is on purpose, because many historians believe that the Jewish people in the first century did this for a couple reasons. The first one being pretty almost scientific. The decomposition cycle of the body actually starts after 3 days. As our gospel text alludes to, Lazarus smells. And so the body smells like beep. It smells like crap. The second reason is linked to the first reason, being that, you know, when the body is literally decomposing, when the body smells, the spirit of the person then is totally gone, because ancient Judaism believed that the spirit had to have a chance to leave the body and go up to God. So that is why our gospel text points to the fact that Lazarus, and Jesus too, by the way, were raised after 3 days. Because according to this well-known tradition, They not only were dead, they were super dead. The spirit had left. There was no way that any medicine man, any healer, anyone who was entwined with the spirits could bring them back. Maybe on the second day, but definitely not on the fourth day. Yet Jesus calls Lazarus his name. Jesus calls the names of our loved ones. Jesus calls our names. And it is hopefully in the funeral or celebration of an individual where we proclaim that this is not the end. But it's on All Saints Sunday where we see this hope in 3D. It's not the end of my loved one, nor is it the end of any of these saints whose names we will read this morning. God has called each of them by name to step out of the tomb and into a new life. Some of the most powerful verses for me when I was prepping for this sermon really stuck out as the last two verses of this story. And they read, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. His feet and hands were bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Unbind him. Jesus is the one that calls Lazarus out of the tomb. Yes, that's true. But those around him were tasked with the unbinding and taking off of the cloth. I think this is an incredibly important and powerful image. One that stands as a testament to the role that we have in this. We're not just bystanders watching the All Saints resurrection game here, but are participating. We are part of it, of bringing our loved ones into this new life. And it is our task to unbind them. Perhaps in order to do this, maybe it means unbinding ourselves just as much as it means to unbind them. For our practice on All Saints Sunday, one should remind and be reminded of the promise, the unbinding now that happens. You know, our New Testament reading in the book of Revelation uses a very famous quote that's used all over Greek society. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the present, and the future. And this statement is used twice in the book of Revelation. It's used once in our reading today, and it's used at the very beginning of the book, in chapter 1, verse 8. Except that it's tweaked in a very little known and very little kind of way that we don't really see much. In verse 8, it reads, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. It names the present first. The promise, the unbinding, begins now. God is our present because God is our present. And because God is our present, that makes our future possible. We unbind our loved ones now, knowing that God is our now. That God is present in our grief, in our emotions today. We know in this unbinding that because of that fact, God calls our names too in the future. And so may God bless us in the binding of the saints, here and now. And may God bless us as we embrace the promise and the hope for the future. Amen.